Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St Andrew's at All Saints here in Malvern for our contemporary service. We do welcome you. We hope you've had a good week. It's been half term, so we hope you've enjoyed some family time together at this particular difficult time of meeting up. My name is Jo Hartwright. I'm part of the team here, and I am really glad that we can join together this morning. Whether it's the first time you've joined us or whether you join us every week, you are very, very welcome. And we pray that you will be blessed in our time of worship together this morning. Before I forget, something new is happening today. Tonight we're having our first evening service, which is called The Six, believe it or not, and it starts at 6 o'clock. And everyone is warmly welcome to that service. So let's join in with something new that's happening. Well, let's worship God and let's invite him into our service this morning. Lord, come by your Spirit this morning and touch our lives, we pray. Well, as you know, we've been following a series called The Promises of God. We've talked about the promise of his blessing and his rest and the promise of his wonderful, powerful Holy Spirit over the time of Pentecost. And today, Heather, a little bit later on in the service, is going to talk about God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth. So that proves to be very interesting. But we're going to join together in our first song this morning, and our church band is going to lead us. And even though we can't sing, I encourage you to stand and move or worship God in whatever way you feel appropriate, but don't sing. So let's worship God together.
Creation sings your praise.
Please do sit down. I really love the words of that song because it emphasizes the fact that God is our creator God, the God of the universe, the mighty God, and yet he cares for each individual one of his children, you and me, searching us out, following us, trying to get our attention when we're not listening and we're not looking for him. And we just thank you for his Holy Spirit that prompts us to turn and face him and see him for who he is, calling us back to himself. So let's join together in a prayer to God. Let's pray. God of all healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and our despair, and lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know the peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, in this precious moment, in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence that here broken lives are made whole. Lord, we thank you that in your grace and mercy you transform us, you change us, you renew us, you give us a fresh start whenever we need it, in the power of your Spirit. Take our lives once again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we can pray those things in the confidence that God hears us and will answer our prayers. We're going to continue now in the theme of prayer, and Joan's going to bring us our intercessions this morning, and then after that the band will lead us once again into song worship.
Let us bring before the Lord the needs of the world, many and varied. We pray for world leaders, governments, responsibilities and decision-making, we pray for their wisdom and integrity and compassion for all, and especially for those places where there is unrest. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For your church throughout the world and its variety and witness, be with those who suffer persecution, the price for following Jesus. Thank you again for the freedom we have to worship and speak about you here. We pray for Dave and Peter, Eddie and Helen working together to lead and nourish us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As our government copes with the demands of COVID, we're reminded that our mission partners are also challenged in London, Tanzania and Bangkok. Particularly Nick Russell in Greenwich, London, who is finding youngsters not in school are tempted by drug suppliers to become involved in distribution. They are bored and susceptible to interest shown by an older person, unaware that it is not true friendship. We pray for Nick and his team as they try to show them another way forward, for police and for the means of law enforcement. May they not be discouraged. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for teachers and young people in our churches and schools locally. We pray that they may be refreshed after their holiday and ready for work assessment and exam results following a disruptive year. We think of our own young people who need a mature leader to point them to Jesus and help them to grow spiritually. It's vital as they think about the future. Lord, please clearly call whoever that person is to this important ministry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There are pockets of new housing around Malvern, and we think of those beginning new lives, new neighbours, jobs, schools. May they find a welcome here, particularly in churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you those we know who are suffering in body, mind or spirit, those undergoing treatment in hospitals, and where there are difficult family dynamics. Give wisdom to all involved in medicine and mediating. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray an end to these restrictions so that businesses, workplaces, schools and churches and transport can operate normally. Because in faith, we look to a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today we reach the end of our series on promises of God. This takes us to the thrilling climax of the Bible story of God's purposes of redemption and renewal for his world and for us in our own Christian journey. The book of Revelation is not for the faint-hearted, but my excellent guide, as I've reread it, has been Tom Wright in his book, Revelation for Everyone. And if anybody would like to borrow it, I have it here and I'd be very happy to lend it. As British holidaymakers in this glorious spell of half-term weather, you may have been sad to hear that there'll be no more sea in this perfect heaven on earth that we heard about in our reading. Well, more of that later. We're actually probably most familiar with today's reading about a place where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because it's often read at funeral services. The other passage often read is from John chapter 14, where Jesus says, Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way to get there? Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Members of our own church have recently lost beloved grandchildren in a terrible road accident, and in the face of this awful tragedy have been comforted with the knowledge that those lovely children are safely at home in heaven with Jesus. This is the living hope which takes the sting out of death for followers of Jesus. And in the face of death, we comfort one another with these words. There are a number of places in the New Testament which talk about going to be with Christ. And on the cross, Jesus said to the repentant thief hanging beside him, Today you will be with me in paradise. However, today's reading is not really about believers going to a better place. It's much more radical than that. It envisions something completely new. The better place coming to us and renewing the beautiful world we live in. It comes, of course, from the closing chapters of the last book in the Bible. And what it describes isn't happening up there in heaven, but down here in a new heaven and earth where God comes down to dwell among his people. It completes the overarching story of God's relationship with people and the world he created for them to live in, which started in the perfect Garden of Eden, pictured at the very beginning of the Bible. The whole Bible is the story of how it got spoiled and how Jesus came to redeem it. And here in today's reading, which follows after the account of the final destruction of the devil and all his evil ways, here we have the revelation of God's final solution. We're now going to watch a Bible Society video, which I think explains this brilliantly.
So in the Bible, the ideas of heaven and earth are ways of talking about God's space and our space.
So I understand our space really well. We live here. There's trees, rivers, mountains. But my understanding of God's space gets a little fuzzy.
And what we do get in the Bible are images trying to help us grasp God's space, which is basically inconceivable to us.
So these are two very different types of spaces.
Yes, they're different in their nature. But here's what's really interesting is that in the Bible, these are not always separate spaces. So think of heaven and earth as like different dimensions that can overlap in the same exact space.
So we talk a lot about going to heaven after we die, but this idea of heaven and earth overlapping, we don't talk a lot about that.
Which is kind of crazy because the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once fully united and then driven apart, and about how God is bringing them back together once again.
So let's go back to the beginning, where heaven and earth, they're completely overlapping.
Yeah, this is what the Bible's description of the Garden of Eden is all about. It's a place where God and humanity dwelt together perfectly, no separation, and humans then partner with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world and so on.
But as humans, we wanted to do things a different way. We wanted God out, and we wanted to create a world apart from him.
Yeah, so we have these two spaces now. And the Bible actually uses lots of different kinds of words and phrases to refer to these two spaces to make a clear distinction.
So you've said that these spaces can overlap, though. So explain how that works.
Yeah, this is where we have to start talking about temples. Because in the biblical world, you experience God's presence by going to a temple. That's where heaven and earth overlap.
Now, there are two types of temples described in the Bible. One is a tabernacle, basically a tent that was built by Moses. And the other was this massive building made by Solomon.
And these temples were decorated with fruit trees and flowers and images of angels and all kinds of gold and jewels and so on. And these are designed to make you feel like you're going back to the garden. And at the center of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was like the hot spot of God's presence.
Now we can go and be with God again.
But not so fast, because the temple also creates a problem. So God's space is full of his presence and goodness and justice and beauty, but human space is full of sin and injustice and the ugliness that results.
So how do these spaces overlap if they're so different and they're in conflict with each other?
This was resolved through animal sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do animal sacrifices have to do with this?
Yeah, the idea is this. Animal sacrifices, somehow they absorb the sin when the animal dies in your place. And it creates a clean space, so to speak, where you are now free to enter into the temple and be in God's presence.
Okay, so if I'm an Israelite and I live in Jerusalem, I might be able to be in God's presence. But you said the story of the Bible is all of heaven and earth reuniting.
Right. So we have to keep going in the story where we come to Jesus in the New Testament. And in the Gospel of John, we hear this claim that God became human in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. Now, this word dwelling is really curious. It means he set up a tabernacle among us. And so what John is claiming right here is that Jesus is a temple. He is now the place where heaven and earth overlap.
What's interesting about Jesus is that he isn't staying in this safe, clean space. He's running around, hanging out with sinners. He's healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving people of their sins.
He's basically creating little pockets of heaven where people can be in God's presence, but he's doing it out there in the middle of the world of sin and death.
And he keeps telling everyone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And he even told his followers to pray regularly that God's kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven.
But a lot of people are threatened by Jesus and they kill him, which seems to spoil this whole plan to reunite heaven and earth.
But we have to go back to a scene earlier on in Jesus' story where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
So Jesus isn't just talked about as being a temple. He's also talked about as being the temple sacrifice.
Yeah, so the cross is now the place where Jesus absorbs sin to create a clean space that is not limited like animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice has the power to keep spreading and reuniting more and more of heaven and earth.
And this is all really great, but it leaves one big question in my mind, which is, what happens when I die? Don't I just fly over to God's space to be with Jesus?
Yeah, so a few times in the New Testament, we learn that Christians will be with Jesus in heaven after they die, but that is not the focus of the Bible's story. The focus is on how heaven and earth are being reunited through Jesus and will be completely brought together one day when he returns. So in the book of Revelation, we get this beautiful image of the Garden of Eden, now in the form of a city, coming to end the age of sin and death by redeeming all of human history in a renewed creation. And God's space and human space completely overlap once again.
Well, I've watched that video several times, and I hope that you find it really brilliant as I do. And you'll be able to watch it again as well, because the link will be included in the study notes for life groups in this week's mailing. So what does it mean when God says, "I am making all things new"? Within the context of the preceding chapters of Revelation, it means that the devil and all the evils of our present world, which come from our sinfulness and his temptation and desire to spoil God's work, all these things in terms of war, domination, oppression, abuse, dishonesty, fraud, immorality, slavery, unfaithfulness, prostitution, destruction, and climate abuse have finally and permanently been destroyed. God's reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is absolute, and the conquest and abolition of sin and death has been achieved, not through war, but through the blood of the Lamb, the death of Jesus on the cross. It's the renewal of all things. And within that new heaven and new earth, there is perfect healing, restoration and love as God's people find themselves beyond the reach of tears, pain and death forever. God, the one who is seated on the throne, says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega," which is the Greek equivalent of the A and the Z in our alphabet, the beginning and the end. The perfect harmony between God and his people, which we read about in the Paradise Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, has been restored forever. And because no evil can enter this new world, it won't all go wrong again. We are right in this world of 2021 to take our responsibilities towards the earth seriously and play an active part in attempts to reverse the damage done to God's good creation. Because God loves the world he made, not just the people in it. Psalm 36, verses 5 to 7 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. But as St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 22, the whole creation is groaning in pain, longing to be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And that liberation is a vital part of the picture of a new heaven and a new earth. As we begin now to look at some of the details of this passage, we come up against the vivid and often bewildering imagery of John's visions. The confusing concept of a holy city, which is also a bride in her wedding dress, is an example of the highly pictorial, symbolic, and complicated imagery of this book. But if we take these two images separately, they would have resonated with significance for the original readers and will do for those familiar with the Bible today. The holy city with its temple was the place where people met with God, as we saw in the video. In the Old Testament, God's chosen people, the Jews, are described as the bride of Yahweh, and their unfaithfulness is lamented by various prophets, notably Isaiah and Hosea. In the New Testament, Paul describes the church as the bride of Christ. So this is part of the vision of this new heaven and earth, where God and ransomed humanity will be united in perfect love and harmony. I mentioned that British holidaymakers might be sad to hear there'll be no more sea in this perfect heaven on earth. But again, it's necessary to recognise the symbolic meaning of this detail. Throughout this book, as in much of the Bible, the sea represents the dark forces of chaos which threaten God's plans and God's people. The sea represents estrangement, separation, danger, and from it come evil monsters which have no place in this new world. The most wonderful words of this passage are spoken by the loud voice from the throne. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. We saw in the video how in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, or later the temple, was the place where people could meet with God. And we heard how in John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says that Jesus took on human flesh and made his dwelling, he tabernacled among us, ministering love and forgiveness and healing. And as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he died on the cross so that our relationship with God could be restored. Now this same verb, tabernacling, is used for God dwelling with his people, this time forever, with no sin to get in the way, because of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, who has won the victory. What tender love is expressed in the picture of God himself wiping away all tears. And how wonderful for him to come down and dwell among us. When and how will this happen? We do not know. But because God, whose words are trustworthy and true, has granted this vision to John and told him to write it down, we are asked to take it on trust as the consummation towards which history is moving. And meanwhile, we are living in the overlap. We're somewhere in the time between the victory over sin and death won by Jesus on the cross and the utter transformation of heaven and earth by God abolishing the horrible, disgusting, and tragic effects of human sin. Do you remember how in the video it described Adam and Eve partnering with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world? And how in the part about Jesus dwelling among us, it said he was running around, hanging out with sinners, healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving their sins, and creating little pockets of heaven where people could be in God's presence. That is how we are called to live now. We're called to help usher in aspects of this final kingdom of God in our world, our community, our homes today. Let's take a look at our church logo and vision statement. So, we say that we are partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. Just as Adam and Eve partnered with God in the flourishing of that perfect world, we see our calling as partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. And how do we do this? Well, for our own spiritual growth, we seek to encounter Jesus in worship, prayer, word, and spirit. And for ourselves and those that we invite to join us, we seek to grow whole life, long life disciples of Jesus. And then this third of our aims is to see lives transformed and communities flourish as we demonstrate and proclaim God's kingdom. So next time you go to one of our local shops, or you pass other dog walkers on the common, or you're waiting at a checkout, or on your mobile phone, WhatsApping a friend, walking on the hills, 24/7, whatever you're doing, whatever we're doing, we are seeking to be partnering with God by the way we live, by what we say when we have the opportunity, just by our love, our care, and our attitude, our hopefulness, our sense of a vision for the future, which so many people lack. In all these ways, we're partnering with God to bring in his kingdom. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we're pledging our commitment to help God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And if you've been praying, "Thy kingdom come," during the days between Easter and Pentecost, this is what you've been praying for. Do you remember how the video portrayed heaven and earth as different dimensions which can overlap? When we respond to God's call on our lives and become followers of Jesus, we enter the kingdom of heaven while still living here on earth. In the language of Revelation, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we have the sure and certain hope of a future with God in his perfect world. Our reading ended with the invitation to anyone who is thirsty to come and drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And if you read on into chapter 22, you will find the river of life flowing through the streets of the holy city, that same river we learnt about a few weeks ago from Ezekiel's prophecy. But to be part of this glorious world, we need to have drunk of the water of life. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well that whoever believes in him will experience an inner well of water springing up into eternal life. As we heard earlier, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must come to the Father through me." So, don't turn a deaf ear to that invitation. Respond, come. Drink from the water of life. I want to end with a beautiful poem called The Kingdom by R.S. Thomas. It evokes the world of new life, love and healing we've been thinking about, and invites us to enter by faith. And after I've read it, I'd like us to spend some time quietly reflecting and responding according to what we've heard God say to us personally this morning. The kingdom. It's a long way off, but inside it, there are quite different things going on. Festivals at which the poor man is king and the consumptive is healed. Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves and love looks at them back. And industry is for mending the bent bones and the minds fractured by life. It's a long way off, but to get there takes no time, and admission is free if you purge yourself of desire and present yourself with your need only and the simple offering of your faith. Green as a leaf.
Thank you, Heather, for that encouraging message and meditation. It's wonderful to know that God is with us. I can't describe to you what an encouragement, what a blessing that is to know that God is with us. God is with us as individuals. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us fullness, fullness of life. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't just left us on our own to journey through this life of difficulties, of highs and lows, of trials, of excitement. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is with us, that you are with us at every moment of every day. Help us to live in the light of that here as we journey on earth, and help us to trust in the hope and future that you have for us in heaven in eternity. So we thank you, O God, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to have a great song to finish with, because that is a tremendous hope and a message that we have. And if you have got a flag or a banner or a scarf or a handkerchief, let's really sing praises to our God. I had this banner many years ago, and I really love waving it in praise to God. So let's join together in worship.
Oh, well, I'm quite out of breath now. I hope you really enjoyed that, because it is a great song. May God lead us forward in hope and trust in him. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our service now. So do keep in touch. Do think about what we've heard this morning. And do remember to pray, because God will hear you, whatever. So just a quick reminder then about the 6 o'clock service tonight, to which we're all welcome, which is new. It'll just be 45 minutes. And we really hope you will tune in again at some future date to worship God together. So just a final blessing from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope, the hopefulness of full life here now and life to come in eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.